It's been the same verse, just with a little bit more added on each time. And that was intentional. And the reason being is because people actually say, like all the best researchers say, that the best way to actually retain knowledge is through repetition. That's actually one of the best ways that we can remember scripture or remember, you know, what we're studying about God. They also say that when we study the Bible, if we actually have the intention of passing on what we are studying, we will remember more of what we are studying. Okay, so last couple of weeks, we've been talking about being born again. Let's just do a quick memory retention test. See what you guys have remembered. Okay? If you've remembered anything at all. Okay, just share one point, or even if one image from the sermon PowerPoint stood out to you, or one verse, or one thing about God that you have learned over these last couple of weeks, if you have been here. I'm just going to pick a few random people to see if there is anything that you remember, okay? And now you're going to know, okay, I still want you to come on Sunday. Don't think that you're going to get called out and feel uncomfortable. This is a safe place. If you don't know, you can just say pass. But if you do remember something, feel free to share. Let's see. Alvin.
That one area that generated the image of Jesus holding the iPhone.
Jesus holding the iPhone. Okay. That was good. So that's one image that you remember. Do you remember the point from that image? Yes. Only one type of Jesus. And that specific image was the image of, like, it's all about me. Okay, anything else? Let's see. Lionel?
I don't know, Alvin, there's another type where it's like this money. You talk about, like, one type that others believe in. It's like the one where you look at that where you have to, like, where you can, like, do, like, gain whatever material you could have.
Good job, man. Very good. Okay, that's good memory. How about, let's see, Maureen?
I'm practicing pass.
Practicing pass. Okay, good job. Kevin, anything?
I think I remember the analogy of hitchhiker, Jesus the hitchhiker, and that in order to, you know, be truly born again, you have to let Jesus take control of the driver's seat, even.
Awesome. Very good, man. Okay, anybody else have anything they'd like to share that you remember from the last couple of weeks? Okay, that was really good. You guys did a great job. So I'm going to actually give you a haichu. I realize lots of people, they like the haichu, so here you go, man. That was for being brave. You don't get anything for passing. Lionel, can you catch this? Good catch. All right. You can have another seat, like. All right. Okay. It's good to remember actually what we learn and what we study about God. Or we're not able to actually move to a place from just knowledge to transformation, okay? So before we get into today's sermon, I'm going to pray for us. So please join me in praying. Holy Spirit, we want to hear from you today. And we know that you desire to speak your truth to us. So however you decide to communicate to us here today, I just pray more than anything that our hearts have come ready to listen. And not just listen to what you want to say, but to also leave today to do what you want us to do. Because the Bible says that if we just merely listen to your word, but don't actually do what it says, then we are falling short of what you desire and what you require of us. So help us to listen attentively, but also help us to be obedient as we leave here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I think, Christopher, if you just click on the PowerPoint, I should be able to go through. Nicely done. Thank you, man. You're doing a great job. Okay, so just to review. Last week I talked about how we need to take time to examine ourselves. That it's important that we see how is our relationship with God going? How are we spending time with Him? And are we passionate about Him? We also talked last week about looking deeper at when Jesus said, "I never knew you." And what Jesus meant by that phrase, when we stand before Him in judgment, that ultimately Jesus is looking for us to have an authentic relationship with Him. And out of that authentic relationship, was there fruit? Was there obedience in our life? And then I shared about the difference between religion versus relationship. We always hear this in Christian circles. Well, as Christians, it's not religion, but it's about a relationship. But we talked about, okay, what does that exactly look like? And that for us to be stuck in religion, we have to be careful not to just be going through the religious motions. But we need to make sure that we have an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. Also, last week, I shared about this. What is the purpose of a Christian's life? And we understood that if we are here today and we call ourselves a Christian, we need to understand what our purpose is here on earth, so that we are using our time wisely and we are being effective for Jesus in our life. And we understood that our purpose is ultimately to know God and enjoy Him forever. To have this relationship with God where we know Him and we get to enjoy Him forever. This involves glorifying God by loving Him, loving others, and striving to be more like Jesus by growing as His disciple and becoming a disciple maker. And we concluded last week with understanding that's very important to know, that our purpose is becoming a disciple of Christ, which means we are His apprentice. We walk closely to Him. We learn from His example, and ultimately we become like Him in how we live. And the ultimate goal and purpose is to be trained to a place where we can then go and make other disciples. Wherever God has called us to go, and however God has called us to go, He desires for us to be faithful with His mission. And each of us have been given different gifts, different talents, different abilities. But we're all called to be faithful with what God has given us. To do what? To go and tell others about Him and to make other disciples. Okay, so it's important that we understand this. And why? Because if we are born again, then our journey doesn't end at the moment of salvation. When we become saved, and when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, our journey doesn't end there. And there are some Christians who are perfectly content with just being saved and then going to church. And that's it. They're totally fine with just saying, "Well, you know what? I'm okay now. Me and God are good. I'm going to go to heaven one day. And my only requirement now is just to go to church on Sunday." And that's totally misunderstanding what Jesus means when He says, "Follow me, become my disciple, and go and make disciples." We are called by God not just to commit to church, and that is important, But we are called by God to mature as Christians. And through training and spiritual nourishment, we grow into the likeness of Jesus. And this has been, you know, just the exciting part about my journey, where I know when I became saved and when I put my faith in Jesus. But my journey began where other people would invest in me to train me and to teach me the Bible. And I fell more and more in love with Jesus Christ, and the things he wanted for my life became more of a priority than the things I wanted for my own life. And it's been such an amazing journey of being able to be trained by Holy Spirit to now be able to go and make other disciples. But this is what it means to mature. Okay? Here is a question for you. What evidence would you see in the life of a born-again Christian? And I just want you to think about that for a moment. If somebody says, I'm a Christian, what evidence would you expect to see in their life that actually reveals that what they're saying is true? Because many people can say that they are a Christian, but there needs to be evidence that what that individual is saying is actually true. So what evidence do you guys think you would see in a Christian's life if they said that they were a born-again Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ? What would you expect to see in their life? Because the things that the Bible reveals to us reveals if people are actually true about what they are saying. First, let's define what evidence is. Okay, and this is a fun topic for me because my full-time job, I deal a lot with evidence with the Toronto Police Service. And so when we talk about what evidence is, well, it's the available facts or information that indicate whether a belief or proposition is true or valid. Okay? So I could come here today and tell you guys that, you know, I love chicken feet. And if I told you that I love chicken feet, well, that's me just telling you something, but you would then actually go and find out the facts of, okay, why does Pastor Christian like chicken feet? Have I ever seen him eat chicken feet? When there is the fellowship upstairs on the second and fourth Sunday, does Pastor Christian ever eat chicken feet? Is there a bone that I could take and analyze it? And is Pastor Christian's saliva, is his DNA on that chicken foot bone that determines that he actually likes chicken feet? These are the facts. These are the information. The chicken bone, the chicken feet, you seeing me actually eat it would be evidence that points to the fact that what I'm saying is true, that I actually like chicken feet. Now, the honest truth is I actually don't like chicken feet. I'm okay with eating it if it's in soup. But any other time, I'm not a fan of it, but my wife really loves chicken feet. Okay? So that is what evidence is. I'm going to show you guys a picture. This is a evidence bag from the Toronto Police Service. Okay? This is what the Toronto Police uses to put evidence inside, or one of the many things that they use to put evidence in. So when we talk about evidence, right? So in the world of policing, if a police officer were to take a piece of evidence, like this recorder, if there was a crime that was committed and they went on scene and they took the recorder, they would put it inside the evidence bag wearing gloves, and then that now becomes a piece of evidence in that case. Now, how that piece of evidence becomes useful is now when there is court, the evidence gets presented as facts, as information, as to whether or not that individual actually committed that crime or not. Now, there is a lot of evidence that gets tested whether through what we call, we have a tech crime unit that can analyze any type of phone. Okay, and you know, criminals, they're not the smartest people out there. They think that when they send messages on WhatsApp and text messages saying that they're about to commit a crime, that that's completely private. It's not. The police have the ability to recover any type of messages that you send on your phone, even after you delete it. Okay, and then also we do a lot of DNA analysis on evidence, meaning we can find fingerprints, we can find hair particles, we can find different sweat particles, skin particles that are on evidence, and all of these things point to whether people actually commit the crime or not. So evidence, it's solidified facts or information that we can see that point to whether something is true or not. So, okay, bringing it back to us as Christians and our spiritual development. For the disciple of Jesus, there will be some clear evidence in their life that who they claim to be is actually true. Remember, I talked last week with you guys about nominal Christianity, where there are some who just are Christians by name. They say that they're a Christian, but they don't actually live as if they are a Christian. And we have to be careful of nominal Christianity, because for the disciple of Christ, there will be clear evidence that what somebody says, I'm a Christian, there will be evidence that that is true. Jesus says this in Matthew 7, verse 18 to 20. He says, a good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Okay? This is Jesus. And what is Jesus saying? Well, he's saying if you look outside and you see that there is an apple tree, if it's growing oranges, something is off. An apple tree will grow apples. An orange tree will grow oranges. A mango tree will grow mangoes. Okay? And so these fruits are evidence of that tree being what it actually is. But Jesus also says, well, you will know if someone is a Christian, if someone is a false teacher, if someone is a fake Christian. How? By their actions. You can identify them by their actions. And so what are some clear evidences or fruit of a genuine Christian, a genuine disciple of Christ, a genuine, authentic follower of Christ? I think the Bible points to a few solid ones that are evidences of a genuine, born-again Christian. And again, when I go through these three evidences, if Holy Spirit convicts you in any way to say, well, you know what, I'm not committed to those things, then again, it's an opportunity for us to take time and to examine our life, to see where we are at with God, to see where we are at in our relationship with Him. I'm going to share three evidences or fruit of a genuine born-again Christian. The first one is this: intimacy with Jesus. Okay, intimacy. It's a very interesting word. But what this word means, it means that we know Jesus personally. We don't just know of Jesus. Like when I talk about Him on Sunday, or if you go through your week and you hear about Jesus. It means that we know Jesus personally. There is a personal relationship with him. This is the foundation of everything in the Christian life. It's intimacy with Jesus. And I know for me when that changed, I shared with you guys that I grew up in church. Going to church was the thing to do on Sunday in my parents' household. But I knew a lot of times I would just go to church. Why? Well, because my parents wanted me to. That was a reason. Because I thought it was the right thing to do. But when I actually fell in love with Jesus and understood what Jesus did for me and what he wanted me to do in response to what he did for me was to now give up my life for him, then everything changed. Because nothing in my life became, well, about doing it out of obligation. But everything in my life and my Christian journey has been because I love Jesus. And it is an honor, it's a joy, it's a pleasure to be obedient to him and to prioritize what he says in my life. Why? Because I love him. It comes from a place of love, not from a place of duty. And so we have to think, well, do we have a personal relationship with Jesus? When I go throughout my week, my time with Jesus, which is, yes, when we read our Bible and when we pray, it's one of the most exciting times that I look forward to. And now I really have a lot of concern for my son and you guys in the younger generation, because there's a lot of things that are fighting for your time. There are a lot of distractions that are fighting for your love. It's hard to just put down the phone or put down the devices or put down the gaming systems and just have intimate personal time with Jesus, where you get to just spend time with him and be with him. But this is the evidence of a true born-again Christian. There is an authentic, intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. This is where everything starts. If we don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, then love for other people and our commitment to the mission of Jesus is going to be affected. So number one, intimacy with Jesus. Number two, commitment to the church. Now, when I say commitment to the church, I am not saying a commitment to going to church, because I don't know, you guys, I think, know this. Church is not the building. Church is the people, according to the Bible. Look around you. That is the church today. This physical building, they call it a church building, but it's not actually the church according to the Bible. The church are your fellow brothers and your sisters in Christ. That is the church. And so when I talk about a commitment to the church, it's a commitment to one another, and it's a commitment to this time of coming together to worship God and to fellowship together. This is biblically what it means to commit to the church. Listen to this verse. Hebrews 10:25 says, "And let us not neglect our meeting together." This is our meeting together. "Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." We have so much to learn about what it means to be a healthy church, what it means to be a biblical church. But this scripture is saying, as Christ's return is coming nearer and nearer, we need to be prioritizing gathering together as his church, encouraging one another, loving one another, supporting one another, praying for one another, being there for one another, looking out for each other. But the sad part about it is there are many Christians who are very casual with their commitment to the church. Okay, and this is just, again, something for us to think about. Okay, but if our commitment to the church is very casual, or just like, you know, I can kind of go to church when I feel like it, then we've really misunderstood what God requires of us as His children. Because God does not desire that we commit casually to this time together. He wants us to be committed to it. And I'm going to be just clear, practical. Okay, if you are traveling out of the country, like Samuel and Shuheng are not here right now, that's a reasonable reason to not gather together with the church or to be at church on Sunday. Thankfully, Andrew, he's alive today, but he said he was sick pretty much for a good portion of the week. If you are sick on Sunday and cannot physically come to church, that's a reasonable reason not to gather together with fellow believers and come to church. Please keep the germs at home. Don't bring it to church. Those are actually okay reasons. But God says, okay, on a Sunday, if we're meant to gather together at 3:30, and you choose, well, you know, I'm going to go play basketball instead of going to church, you're actually being disobedient to God when you choose to do that. Or if you say, okay, well, I'm just going to stay home and play video games, God says, not Pastor Christian, God says that is actually dishonoring Him. If you choose to go watch a movie, or just choose to just have fun or do fun activities rather than prioritize this time of coming to church and gathering together and fellowshipping with other believers, God actually says that you are being disobedient. And it is actually sin, according to the Bible. And see, we're not used to hearing that. We're very casual with our commitment on Sundays. We love that the grace of God could tell us, oh, it's okay. He understands that when we miss church for different reasons and we choose to do other things. The truth is, yes, God is very graceful. But in His love, He clearly also tells us in the Bible that if we are a genuine born-again Christian, this time that we understand is important to God also becomes important to us. And we don't take it lightly and we don't take it casually. And so that's just something to think about. As you get older and as you grow up in your faith, are you committed to the church? Or is this just like when you wake up on Sunday morning, it's kind of like if you have to think about coming to church, that probably reveals something in your heart. Because when I wake up on Sunday, I look forward to gathering together with the church. I look forward to going to church. I'm excited to go to church. I don't have to think about coming to church. I don't have to think about, okay, well, am I going to go to church today or not? That's not something that goes through my mind, but it does go through some of our minds. And again, it most likely just reveals that there is something off with our heart. The evidence. There are some evidences that point towards whether we are truly born again. Number one, intimacy with Jesus. Number two, our commitment to the church. Think about your commitment right now. Are you fully committed or just casually committed? Is that evidence there? And the last one is this. Commitment to the mission. Can you honestly say right now, no matter how young you are or how old you are, that you are on that journey of becoming a disciple of Christ and making disciples? Because Christ commanded us as His church That the purpose of why we gather together is so that we can encourage each other as we go into our week to be committed to his mission. That's the purpose of the Christian, their Christian life. And then the purpose of the church is to be making an impact in the world around us. Are we committed to the mission? Christ tells us, go into all the world and make disciples. It's not a choice. It's a command. Go into all the world and make disciples. And do what? Teach, baptize, lay hands on the sick, pray for those who are demon-possessed, and believe that God is going to do great things. See, most of the church relies on the pastor to go into all the world and to make disciples. The responsibility is actually on all of us to go into all the world and make disciples. The pastor's job is to equip you, to train you, to prepare you to go and make disciples. That's my job. But I'm not coming to your school to make disciples. I'm not coming to your workplace to tell people about Jesus. It is all of our responsibility to go and to share the gospel and make disciples. It's a commitment to the mission of Jesus Christ. I know this church, we have many opportunities to go on mission. Take time, think about that, pray about it. See if God wants you to go on a mission trip. Think about how you can just be reaching people locally in your community. Think about how you can be praying for people. Because if we're not passionate about telling people about Jesus, then we're missing the point. We're missing the purpose of what our life is meant to be about. Because when Jesus returns, this is all that's really going to matter in people's life. Are they children of God or are they not? And we have to be faithful with sharing the message. It doesn't mean everybody is going to accept it, but we do need to be faithful with sharing it. And so, these are the evidences of a true born-again Christian. Intimacy with Jesus, commitment to the church, and a commitment to the mission. I have to take time and examine my life to see how I'm doing in those three areas, and you have to take time to examine your life and to see how you're doing in those three areas. And if you take time and you examine and you see that there's not really a heart or a passion for one or maybe all of those things, I pray, I hope that that would cause some concern in your life. Because then it most likely just reveals that you have never really encountered God in a real way and become born again. But you are simply just going through religious motions. And just like Nicodemus, who was a very respected Jewish leader, but came to the realization that he was eternally lost and separated from God, Nicodemus chose to do something about it. But are we going to choose to do something about it? If we fall into that category of where we understand that, you know what? I don't think I've ever really committed my life to Jesus. I don't think I've ever really declared him as Lord and made him my master. I don't think I've had this born-again experience that Pastor Christian is talking about. Because I don't have that passionate relationship with him. I don't see evidence of a commitment to church. I don't see evidence of a commitment to his mission. Well, again, we have to do something about that if we see that, right? And I would be more than happy to pray with you if that's a decision that you want to make for the first time in your life. And I've been saying this over the last 3 weeks. Don't miss the opportunity that if Holy Spirit is convicting you of something, well, The opportunity is now to get right with God. And if we haven't made that decision to follow Jesus and to commit to him wholeheartedly, then now is that opportunity. And I say that because going forward, we're going to move on to some different teachings. And if you have authentically been born again, well, there will be maturity and there will be growth in your Christian journey and life. I know that to be true according to what the Bible says. Your foundation will be right and your foundation will be solid. And there will be opportunity for you to grow with God and to grow to become a disciple of Christ. But if the foundation is weak, and if there really isn't any foundation, well, you might just come Sunday after Sunday, hear truth, and then go home and just, you know, go right back into your same life. And nothing will really change. You will not look more like Jesus Christ. You will not be transformed by his words and by his truth. And if that's what some of us choose, then that's okay. I will still be here, be faithful to teaching the truth. But I hope that you desire to grow. I hope that you desire to go on the most amazing journey that you can go on with Jesus and to know him personally and to be used by him and to make a real difference in the lives of people that are around you. So really think about if these evidences exist in your life. And if not, then what are you going to do about it? And what are you going to choose to do about it? Last thing that I'll share is when I did those evaluations, when I did the questionnaires, one topic that I think came up pretty frequently that you guys are interested in learning about is spiritual warfare. Right? And that topic, maybe some of you guys picked that topic without really knowing what it meant or what it was. But spiritual warfare is a topic that is not often taught about in the church. But it's a topic that we'll need to understand as Christians if we're going to have any success in our own spiritual lives. And what spiritual warfare is essentially understanding who Satan is and how his kingdom operates. And I hope we have that belief that even though right now we are physically meeting in this room, there are things happening in the unseen realm that we cannot see right now, where angels are battling demons. And there is actually a war going on for your soul and for the souls of peoples that are around us. It's a topic that Jesus taught on. It's all throughout the New Testament, but sadly, it's not taught a lot in church. And so it is a topic that you guys expressed interest in, and we will get there. And I think that for any Christian to grow and mature in their relationship with Jesus, it's a topic that we need to understand in order to have real success as Christians. Spiritual success, not worldly success. We need to understand that we have a real enemy, Satan. And the Bible actually says that we can know everything about him and how he operates and come to an understanding of how Jesus also dealt with Satan and his kingdom. And to know what that will look like in our own personal lives. Okay, so down the road, it's something that I'm going to teach you guys on. It's interesting. It's powerful. It's, you know, a topic that is necessary, again, for us as Christians to know. And so as we go on this journey, again, we're trying to build the right foundation. We're trying to become disciples of Christ. And hopefully, again, you are excited to go on that journey. And you are excited to grow in your relationship with Jesus and grow as a true disciple. Okay? So let's pray. And then we will close off the rest of our service. Father, we just thank you for your word today. We just thank you, God, that your word is true. And God, even as we learn about these different evidences of what it means to be a true born-again Christian, God, if these things don't exist in our life, then I pray that you would birth them in our lives. That you would birth an authentic, personal, and intimate relationship with you. That you would birth this desire to be committed to the church. Maybe not in the way that we understand it, but in the way that you desire, God. And may we understand what it means to be committed to the mission, to go on this journey of growing as a disciple and becoming a disciple maker. May we understand that this is our purpose, and may we live it out in our lives. And so, God, as we just continue to journey as a church, I pray that you would give us wisdom and give us revelation as to what it means to be your sons and to be your daughters. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.